If you apply painful stimulation to a fetus, so a baby prior to birth, will the baby react? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Welcome to Straight Talk on Life Issues. I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute, and we're so glad you've joined us today.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. As always, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. We're going to be visiting the question of, do babies feel pain in the womb?
Well, fetal pain is a debated topic for some. Some argue it's not possible. However, medicine and scientific evidence suggests preborn babies can feel pain as early as 12 weeks.
This age falls within the gestational age where most abortions occur. According to the CDC, in 2022, nearly all, 92%, were performed at less than 13 weeks gestation.
And over the past few decades, several studies have helped shed light on what an unborn child can experience. And they are eye-opening, miraculous, and heart-stopping.
And it makes you wonder how many women entered an abortion facility under the false impression that no one would be harmed in the process and that that abortion rids the world of a mere pregnancy tissue rather than a living human being. Today, we'll learn more as we speak to our special guests on this topic. First joining us is Dr. Robin Perucci. She's board certified in pediatrics and neonatology and has a master's degree in bioethics. She's practiced for close to 25 years at Bronson Children's Hospital, where she was also medical director for 17 years. We're also joined by Dr. Haywood Robinson. He attended college and medical school in Southern California and practiced medicine for 40 years. After performing hundreds of abortions, he became a born-again Christian and is now a powerful pro-life advocate.
Dr. Perucci, Dr. Robinson, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Dr. Perucci, first of all, I want to tell our listeners, your bio was too long to share with them in its entirety. I want to assure you, the listener, that this doctor has an incredible line of experience for the topic that we're about to talk on, and we are truly honored to have her. So pull up a chair and be prepared to be inspired and educated by both of these guests. So, Dr. Perucci, what does it mean by fetal pain?
It's actually not as simple a question as you would think. The easiest way, I think, to state it is if you apply painful stimulation to a fetus, so a baby prior to birth, will the baby react? And the answer is absolutely yes. These little guys do react, both in utero, and if born prematurely, having been smacked by 22-week little tiny hands. So in age-matched premature children, which I've had the privilege to care for, we know that pain affects them. Then we get into divergent opinions about what does that reaction mean, but there's no doubt that there's a reaction.
How early can a baby feel pain in pregnancy?
So gestationally, in the same way that we have developmental differences as we proceed through our embryology and all the different phases of that, the quality of the pain also changes. There's different capacity. The paper with the earliest data, and this is based on the neuroanatomic data as opposed to direct observation, Dr. Stewart, Derbyshire, and Bachman call it an unreflective pain, which I think is a great way to say it. These little guys can't look at you and complain in so many words and wave a flag and say, hey, ouch, that hurts. But we certainly know that there's the transmission of neurofibers that can get information up into what's called subcortical structures, areas of the brain that we think might have that capacity to create what's called a procedural memory. These babies are affected. And that's part of the issue, is we know that long-term, these premature babies, when they undergo pain, or noxious stimuli is another word that you'll see in the medical literature, that there's long-term ramifications. So even if you can't jump up and down and yell and complain at someone in front of you, this changes the neurologic development of what we see. So to claim that there's no effect because they don't have adult level of communication or consciousness is ridiculous, because it's like expecting a 2-year-old to ride a bicycle. At the right anatomic developmental age, there's appropriate development. I think this is just part of this continuum that is part of our life and normal development. It's there differently than what we see in adults.
How early in pregnancy is it there?
So the earliest would be that we've got neuroanatomic data would be is 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
But you're going to get argument. Know that that is not. I would say the other answer in the direct observation is about 20 weeks, and that's because we have direct observation of babies in utero, fetal ultrasounds, as well as when babies have had procedures, we can see changes literally in the stress hormones that are released because they're upset that they've had skin-breaking procedures. Bodily integrity has been violated, and we see the reaction.
Thank you.
What are some of those long-term consequences that we see when a baby has experienced that fetal pain?
So, and this has been published by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, which is more known for left-leaning ideology, but they have stated in their 2016 policy statement, which at that time went down to about 25 weeks gestation, that there's data that show these kids have sensory issues, that there's neurodevelopmental differences. So whether that's part of some of the emotional outbursts, these kids have school issues. I don't know if it's appropriate to call it ADHD because that has such a huge blanket of what does that mean. But emotionally, de neurologic, developmental wise, school readiness, there's long-term issues. Now, I want to be very careful to say that there's multiple factors that can be also involved in that if you're just born prematurely. But for a concrete example, when our babies often have blood draws by having a heel stick, so they get poked in their heels. That area, ask the parents, they will tell you remains exquisitely sensitive for years later. They don't want their heels touched at an age gestationally when they couldn't complain about what was being done. But there is a long-term issue. So that procedural memory is legit. And there's a number of studies that have shown that.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Perucci, many say that the unborn baby is nothing more than a clump of cells. Could you explain to us a little bit more about the development of that baby?
You know, I've seen cell clumps in the lab. I've never seen a clump of cells develop and to be able to recite poetry or sing a song. That is such an inappropriate just language to describe the majesty of what happens after sperm egg fusion of two unique cells, that from that moment on, there is different DNA than both the parents donate to the cause. And if left unmolested, from that single cell, the genetic roadmap is consistent for the rest of your life and gives direction for not just cell division, but the three-dimensional dance that happens in utero and the change in position and size and function. And this starts in utero. It simply continues after birth. It's so interesting. We look different as a baby, as a toddler, than we do in our 80s. And no one thinks that's a different human being or not a human being. And yet we don't give that same grace to someone prior to birth. I like to say it this way. If you look at a picture of your grandmother, have you ever seen a picture of her on her wedding day? If you look at it long enough, okay, it's grandma. My mom once showed me a picture of my grandmother as a child. I'm like, I got nothing. And yet it was her. I wonder what my grandmother looked like as a zygote, as a one cell. It's still her same DNA. It's her. Now, it hasn't had the experiences of living, but our internal map of that directs our being exists from sperm egg fusion. That's not a cell clump. That's a unique human being every single time.
Dr. Robinson, can the pain that's being inflicted on a child be seen by ultrasound?
Well, it's interesting you should mention that because the first memory that I have is what I think you, as an older statesman or sage in the pro-life movement, would remember, the famous video of Bernard Abramson, The Silent Scream. And he, under ultrasound, showed how the baby was trying to get away from the suction curettage unsuccessfully, unfortunately. So that opened my eyes to what. This lump of cells was, this is not just like jello that's sitting there that was waiting to be destroyed. This very young human being recognized what the good doctor was saying here earlier, noxious stimuli. One of the basic principles of an organism is that it will respond to noxious stimuli to try to get away from it. We really can't tell what gestational age or how soon in the womb or how soon in human development pain is, but if we look at other very elementary organisms like little worms and stuff, if you put something like a needle right next to them, these little things don't have a brain, much of a brain. Some of these little worms may be only a few millimeters long. And what do? They back up. I know we're more than worms. Yes, we're more than just when they use the term clump of cells. I think that's nothing much more than like a racial epitaph to try to dehumanize that class of human beings. But yes, the nervous system is developing from early on. It's as simple as that. In the neonatal intensive care unit, it's a pretty traumatic environment. Bells and whistles and ventilators and people talking. And yeah, we know it's all to save their life, but we got to do that care and recognize that this is a very fragile individual that's going through the trauma of maybe coming out several months early. He's going, I want to be inside mama. And now I'm here in the hospital ICU. So yes, I'm in agreement with how we develop, how we had to be very careful, how we care for our patients, but also as we look at it, unfortunately, in the light of abortion, that a child who is only hoping to live out that lease, so to speak, in their mother's womb, and in comes this foreign body, and they are trying to get away and they don't get away. And the last thing they experience inside their mother is the pain of being dismembered. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
Dr. Perucci?
There is some new technology and a newer study that has recently come out where during fetal surgery, they were actually able, with the newest, the four-dimensional ultrasound technique, able to monitor fetuses getting their anesthetic injection in their thigh. And you can watch the fetal face scream. And what they did is they actually scored a number of different facial movements. It's now called the Fetal Seven, and it is the first ever validated fetal pain scale. We
Wow.
have pain scales for adults. We have them for children. We have them for neonates. Using the same facial expressions, which everyone accepts as standard of care for accessing, is someone in pain when after birth, even down to premature. Sure, there's fetal pain scale or neonatal pain scales. They were able to show this in a fetus. There absolutely is ultrasound evidence of these little ones' faces. You can watch all these different movements. And they were able to show that if they scored, I believe, at least 5 out of 7 of the facial movements, then it was able to discriminate between painful stimulation and non-painful stimulation, just acoustic
Wow.
noise or other stuff, which is huge because that is one of the things that those who disagree that pain can exist at that, just at those lower, gestational ages. Yes, you can discriminate. And they've measured it very carefully. Like I say, this isn't just my opinion. This is the science of where we're now at. So now that this scale was recently evaluated just in 2024, I'm looking forward to seeing more direct observational results. The youngest baby that they were able to do was at 23 weeks. And so we'll see what goes on. By the way, fetal surgery happens the youngest, I want to say, are 15, 16 weeks. So,
Wow, really? That far back?
So getting to see, and just think about this, after a fetal surgery, being able to use this to monitor how is the baby doing post-op, We've never been able to do that before. And do we need to get more medication into the baby so that they don't feel that miserable? We don't. This is a whole new world that we're about to open up, which is why this conversation is so important, because the people who deny that pain exists, and there are the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine and ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the British component, ARCOG, they now say that there's no pain until 28 to 32 weeks, which is craziness when you've ever been in an NICU. I mean, it's just like, no.
They must be living under a rock.
Well, so here's the science that they base it on, which is that you need to have mature connections from the thalamus part of the brain to the external, the one of the out parts of the brain, the cerebral cortex. If you don't have that, they say that you cannot have conscious, a full processing of painful stimulation. Here's the problem. We know that there are other structures prior to being connected to the cerebral cortex, which is true embryologically, doesn't happen until really 24 weeks in mature cortical processing to 28. So I understand anatomically what they're saying, but they're ignoring some fetal structures. There's something called a fetal subplate, which helps also provide connections to the cortex. There's other subcortical structures in the developing brain that we know are involved in processing of pain and emotion. And so once again, a little humility in front of what we don't know. And it also doesn't make us ignore what we directly observe, which is that these babies hurt, that they're upset, that their heart rate changes, their oxygenation changes. They release literally what's called stress hormones. I mean, it's like trying to stick a round peg in a square hole. How can you ignore all this other stuff? Which is, by the way, what we used to do. Fetal pain is very young. It really wasn't until these seminal studies by Dr. Sunny Anand in the late 80s, early 90s. We used to take babies to surgery without anesthesia. As late as 1992. It was a combination of his work and the public outcry of mothers getting published what their children look like in the NICU without anesthesia that turned the tables. That he actually had to do a randomized trouble of babies going to cardiac surgery with light, minimal, none anesthesia compared to those who got anesthesia. This is cardiac surgery here in the States. And gosh, the babies who got anesthesia didn't have what's called metabolic acidosis. They didn't have the blood sugar derangements. The values tended that they survived intraoperatively and postoperatively better. The fact that we had to go to surgery, you couldn't even ethically repeat these studies. But from that, we changed. Our medical standard of care changes. No one denies that babies feel pain. Now, I want to pause for a moment because some of that was out of fear of, it's only recently that we had an idea of how much to dose the babies because we were very
Right.
afraid of, you don't want to, you know, once again, do no harm. Are we going to give an anesthetic that is going to overdose these little tiny people? And so I understand the caution, but to claim it doesn't exist in the face of what we can now see and do and measure is just ludicrous to me.
It seems bizarre that medicine has come so far from that point in such a short time. And that as late as the 90s, they didn't think babies felt pain in surgery. I just this that's just bizarre to me.
Dr. Robinson, as we spoke of earlier, we know that these preborn babies that are receiving surgery, they're given anesthesia. The question I have, and I think everyone has, is if the baby does not feel pain, why would that anesthesia be necessary?
Well, what good doctor was saying earlier, they used to do the surgery without anesthesia. And we look back on that and it makes as much sense as, using leeches on people to make them get better. Well, we live and learn, and the whole point, they had to do a study. We have these things, these boards within hospitals that review research and approve to see if this is something that's ethical or humane to actually take a group of people. Now that we suspect that these young individuals are experiencing pain, for us to finally be able to prove it, we're going to continue to use to do the same thing on a group and inflict that pain so that later on, everyone we do this surgery on will have the luxury of having anesthesia. I think what we're seeing here is one of the unfortunate legacies of how we, as physicians, we have to take the responsibility that we sometimes are like clumsy lummoxes, bulls in a crystal shop sometimes, breaking stuff. But hopefully, even when we're breaking stuff, we can learn. As we've learned now, we would never think about doing surgery or routine circumcisions and all that type of stuff without anesthesia because we recognize pain. And it's very interesting. In the 1980s, even before we were recognizing fetal pain, the Joint Commission of Accreditation of Hospitals was bringing great awareness to pain and calling it the fifth vital sign. And you remember that doctor and how they
Oh,
were.
yeah.
When they were doing the surveys on our hospitals and they were going through our records and, well, you didn't document that the patient, you asked the patient about pain that on during your shift and you didn't do that. And they had the seven faces, you know, the smiley face meaning no pain, and then the crying tears happy. And we were dealing with that with adults, but for some reason, why were we discriminating against the very young? It just shows we have to have a certain humility that we don't know everything and we're on this journey learning, but unfortunately, there are casualties along the way.
Has a study been done to look at individuals who, as babies, had surgery without anesthesia and how that's impacted their lives today? Dr. Perucci?
I'm unaware of a follow-up study other than that, because we're, thank goodness, now getting farther out from that. But we certainly do know that the kids who were born prematurely, who didn't have anesthesia, or even if they did, there was so much the repetitive nature of the heel sticks and some of the other procedures that happened that affected them. So we can't do a randomized trial saying, hi, we're going to, thank goodness anymore, saying, we're not going to give you anesthesia. We're going to compare you to the other kids. But we absolutely know that when we have repeated painful stimulation, yes, our bodies are affected. We know when there's minimal anesthesia. We know that long term there's issues. That's old data, and thank goodness we can't do that study anymore. Something that, was said earlier that so interesting. I was surprised the first time I was ever asked, "Do you know if fetal pain exists?" And I looked at the person and I'm like, "Of course it does, because I live in the NICU where this is not controversial. Our baby, of course they feel pain." And the other thing that's kind of unspoken here is the trimester system is just nonsensical. It came out of Roe v. Wade. It came from lawyers. It did not come from physicians. Embryologically, we have the embryologic period of development. You can divide it up into a pre-embryologic, whatever, but that's 0 to 8 weeks. After the end of the 8th week, you have every single organ system present. From 9 weeks all the way until term is the fetal period of development. I literally have had the privilege of taking care of fetal people. That's the whole point of the drill in the NICU. How do I help someone with fetal physiology be able to get to a place where they can eat pizza? You can't do it eventually, and they can breathe air and their lungs work and all. And that's the job description of the neonatologist is helping someone make that transition. So we know that people with fetal physiology, we know beyond any doubt they feel pain. They are affected by this.
Dr. Perucci, Dr. Robinson, thank you both for joining us today. You
Been my
bet.
blessing.
Thank you.
Well, Victor, as I mentioned early in the program, we are so fortunate to have Dr. Perucci and Dr. Robinson with us. The expertise that both of these doctors have brought to this program, as I'm sure every listener will testify, has been really up their top drawer stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And through their expertise, to me, Brad, I think that we can definitively answer the question of whether or not the unborn experience pain. At this point, with the information that they've provided and their expertise, I don't know how anyone could argue that they don't.
It's a no-brainer. Absolutely, there is scientific proof that babies feel pain in the womb. The only question I would think stands out now is just how far early in pregnancy that these babies feel the pain. Is it 12 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? Is it earlier?
And you have to wonder too, Brad, of all of the women who are getting these abortions, if they knew the pain that their child was going to experience, do you think that they would go through with it? So it makes that question very important.
Yes, you are absolutely right.
And to you, the listener, I want to recommend that you go to our website, lifeissues.org, where we have an abundance of resources regarding fetal development, pain inside of the womb, and the resources that our guest spoke about today. Those are all going to be available at lifeissues.org. So be sure to go and check those out, and be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.